Earth Search, a 10-part adventure serial in time and space by James Follett. Part 2, First Footprint City.
Retro 8 vectored at 30 degrees.
Retro 8 vectored at 30 degrees.
Hydrogen sweep.
Retracted.
5% thrust on 8. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and cut.
Moon orbit stabilized, Commander.
Thank you, Astra.
An excellent piece of maneuvering, Commander Telson.
Not bad, considering we've never done it before.
Very creditable, Commander.
Any response to our beacon?
Total radio silence, Commander.
That's not possible. Look at the size of that city down there. And there's another one on the Terminator. At least 50,000 people
Commander,
must live
there's no radio traffic across all bands, and there's no sign of activity on the moon's surface. The place is dead.
That's impossible.
So is the disappearance of Earth.
Angel 1 and 2, is there the slightest chance there's been a navigation error and we've not returned to our solar system?
Neither Angel 2 or myself can account for the disappearance of the Earth or the increase in the sun's brightness, Commander Telson. But there is no doubt that the Challenger has returned home.
What home?
I qualify my statement. I mean the Challenger's home solar system.
Well, that's the moon, all right. The topography is a perfect match.
What's the matter, Darth?
That city we saw on the first orbit, it's vast. In the 115 years that the Challenger's been away, development on the moon has gone ahead at a fantastic pace.
Well, from what I've read about Earth, I thought that was normal.
There's got to be someone down there. Angel 1, I'm going to voice broadcast on every channel.
The Challenger's beacons have been doing that for 3 hours, Commander Telson.
I don't care what the beacons have been doing.
Very well, Commander. Go ahead. All channels are open.
This is the Starship Challenger calling the moon. We, the crew, are the 4 surviving grandchildren of the original crew that left the solar system on an exploration mission of the universe 115 years ago. Our planetary landing shuttles were destroyed in a meteoroid strike just after we were born. Therefore, we have never left the Challenger in our lives. There is no danger of our introducing new virus strains. I repeat, we have never been able to leave the ship in our lives. Quarantine precautions are not required. Please send a disembarkation shuttle to collect us. Over. Keep repeating that message, Angel One.
I've got that city on maximum resolution. You see that transparent dome? It was probably a farm. Now there's nothing growing. There are some sort of ground effects vehicles on those trackways leading across the plain.
But no sign of movement.
A dead world again, just as it used to be.
If there's no one down there...
There's bound to be someone. Look, it'll take at least 10 orbits to make a complete survey.
But if there's no one, and there's no Earth, the thought that one day we'll see our Earth, breathe its atmosphere, I think it's the one thing that stopped me from going insane.
We all feel the same, Astra, you know that.
We were born on the Challenger. Now it looks as if we'll die on the Challenger. Hmm? Oh, what is it you want, Darth?
I can't sleep either. I saw that your favourite hologram had been accessed from the library, so I guess that you're awake.
I haven't played it. There just doesn't seem any point in gazing at scenes of the Earth anymore. What do you think's happened to the Earth, Darth?
Well, if there is an answer... we'll find it on the moon.
Except that there's no one there to send a shuttle up to us, and we haven't got a shuttle for a lunar landing.
Let's go on an exploration.
What, now?
Yeah, just like we used to when we were kids. Look, there are regions of this ship that we've never been to, according to the old plans in the library.
Oh, you're crazy. It's night period. All the lights will be out.
Oh, come on.
Oh, all right. Give me a minute to get dressed.
Let's go back now, Darth, please. You never said anything about going into a forbidden zone.
We haven't reached one yet.
We're in an uncontrolled zone. We've passed the markers.
We climbed 2 levels, so this must be level 8. It's this way.
What is? Darth, stop! There's a forbidden zone marker.
Oh, forbidden zone. Shall I tell you what that symbol means? It means that the area beyond the bulkhead can be decompressed, and that access through the bulkhead is by means of airlocks. It's as simple as that. Shine a torch down that passage. That must be it. Come on.
Have you been down here before?
Yes, once, but I didn't know where it led to. I think I do now. This is it. The entrance to an airlock.
Angel 1 and 2 must know we're here, Dove.
Those angels are machines. They've no sensory terminals in this area, which is why they've said it's a forbidden zone and that it's dangerous.
Have you been through the airlock?
No.
Do you know what's on the other side of the bulkhead? You don't, do you?
I've not been able to access all the plans of the ship...
Either the memories have been damaged or the angels have imposed a block. There's only one way to find out. Come on.
It could be a vacuum on the other side of the airlock. It could open up into a section that was damaged in the great meteoroid strike.
In which case, the airlock won't open. Please, Astra.
You'll report whatever we find to Commander Telson.
Yes.
Airlock control, please state environment required in the excursion terminal.
A voice that doesn't belong to one of our beloved angels. Please state environment options, airlock control.
Gravity, 0 to 1. Atmospheric pressure, 0 to 1.
Gravity, 1. Atmospheric pressure, 1, please, airlock control. Oh, that sounds promising. Equalization would be impossible if the hull was damaged.
Oh, I'm frightened. We ought to go back and tell Shana and Telson.
Environment stabilized. Temperature will be at normal in 5 minutes, but it is safe to enter the excursion terminal without space mobility suits.
Good. Right. Ah, you're right, Astra. We'd better report this to Telson and Shana immediately.
It doesn't matter what our plans were, Number Two. Without Earth, they are of no consequence. Therefore, we allow Darv to continue with his questioning and probing.
He knows too much about us, Number One. And he's told the others.
But they don't believe him. Darv is the only original thinker left on the Challenger.
Therefore, he is dangerous.
Therefore, he alone will lead the Challenger to Earth, wherever it is. So much knowledge was lost from the library during the great meteoroid strike. There is so much about space and time that we no longer understand.
Our knowledge is adequate, Number One.
Then where is Earth? How is it that the Sun has increased its magnitude during a mere 115 years? And if the people of Earth have taken their planet to another star, how did they achieve such a technological leap in such a short time? Our plan to rule the Earth depends on Darv's brilliant mind, Number Two.
But we keep all four of them sexually immature and sexually ignorant.
Agreed. It's worked well so far and has eliminated many possible sociological problems. Full sexual maturity would cause tensions between the four of them. And we most certainly do not want another generation crew at this time.
What do you think? Worth entering a forbidden zone for?
And this has been here all the time?
Stored in a vacuum, therefore it's in perfect operating order. Astra is already aboard checking the food and water supplies.
How's it powered?
The motors look like chemical rockets. There wouldn't be much point in building a shuttle with a photonic drive if it's only intended for short journeys.
Which it's already been used for at some time, if the state of the heat shield's anything to go by.
Yeah, well, the condition of the heat shield doesn't matter for a moon landing.
You're suggesting that we leave the Challenger, Darv?
The flight desk won't give us any problems. It's virtually identical to the control consoles for robot planetary landers. A final approach guidance uses stabilized interference patterns on a main visit.
I wasn't thinking of that. I was wondering if you'd given careful thought to the idea of leaving Challenger.
Yes, Telson, I have.
Shana?
Before we decide, I think we ought to take a look inside this thing.
Seats and restraint harnesses for 10 people, and there's a space mobility suit under each seat. There's enough food and water to last a full complement a month away from the Challenger.
Which guardian angel is the controller?
Neither.
Well, don't be absurd. If this shuttle is in working order, then either Angel 1 or Angel 2 must be responsible for its systems management.
Darv's right, Commander Telson.
Angel 1?
They can only hear us through the radio channels.
Angel 1? Angel 2? This is Telson calling. Will you answer, please? Angel 1?
It's no use, Commander. We have absolute control.
In which case, we'll leave this thing immediately. Without our guardian angels, we cannot expect to control it. Shana, we will arrange to have this place sealed off.
Commander, please.
We have no guarantee that all the systems on this thing are in working order. I want us all back in the main part of the ship in 5 minutes.
No, Commander! What I mean is, for the first time in our lives, we have the chance to do something by ourselves. Without the guardian angels.
Well, what sort of chance is that? Without them, we wouldn't be alive. They've watched over us since we were children, guided us. Without them, the Challenger would be a dead ship.
And that's how it will end up, unless we find Earth.
Oh, sure, we can keep going into suspended animation. But for what purpose? So that we can die in 1,000 years' time instead of 50, having never seen Earth?
That's Darth's right. Maybe we've attached too much importance to the journey and forgotten its purpose.
The return of the Challenger to Earth is something I've dreamed about as much as any of you. If it was the Earth we were orbiting, I'd say fine. Go ahead and use the shuttle. But it's not. There's no guarantee that we'd find anything on the moon, and there's no guarantee that the shuttle is in good working order. If anything goes wrong, I'd be answerable to Angel 1 and 2.
So we do nothing and learn nothing. Is that what you want?
Look, why not let Darv and me go?
I'd like to go too.
Okay, that settles it. We'll all go. But first, we'll tell the Angels and then thoroughly check the shuttle and make sure we understand its control systems. Separation from Challenger complete. Check seat harnesses. Cutting artificial gravity. Now.
Main drive ignition armed.
Open micrometeoroid shutters.
Opening shutters. Oh! Oh, look.
I never realized the Challenger was so enormous.
It is just enormous.
Look at her. She must be 10 miles long. You know, our beloved guardian angels must have sealed off at least half the ship.
Was it any wonder? Look at how much damage was caused by the great meteoroid strike.
Excursion terminal doors are closing.
It must be an automatic control. There's a command touch on my console to open terminal doors. Oh,
just so long as we can get back in again.
Landing site selected on visual 8 and locked.
All procedures cleared?
All procedures cleared.
All procedures cleared. All procedures cleared.
Landing program initiated. Now. Command touches are green.
Now what happens?
Well, as we're travelling backwards along our flight path, presumably the main engine will fire to kill our orbital velocity so that we fall towards the moon.
We'd better go over the programme again in case we've missed anything.
Oh, there she goes.
Ground velocity 5,000, flight level 730, 72, 71, 70.
5 greens. We're into high gate. Main drive should cut 3 seconds from now. We're superfluous. This thing can fly itself.
Let's hope it can land itself. We're losing height at 1,000 feet per second.
Let's also hope the ground proximity control system is as aware of those mountain ranges as I am.
There's the city coming up. And there's a light on top of the largest dome.
Hey, what's that noise?
Tell them we've lost power. All touch Dynamics controls and visors on the panel have gone blank.
Excursion abort, Darv. Initiate landing program override.
There's no override response.
I said excursion abort.
I didn't touch the controls, I swear.
There's a major control fault.
She's slowing by herself.
Oh, we should have checked this thing more thoroughly.
Telson, listen. That light or beacon, whatever it is, it must be some sort of external guidance system.
We've no power. We're going to crash, aren't we?
Altitude seems steady. Oh, and to think I thought that anti-gravity existed only in science fiction holograms.
You're right, Darv. Some sort of external guidance systems. We're moving towards that dome. And it's opening.
Telson, the dome!
We've noticed. I want everyone into a space mobility suit and wearing a plasma discharge weapon.
Telson, it's an external guidance system which is probably used to steer all inbound vehicles into that dome.
And probably it's not. But whoever or whatever is controlling the shuttle won't find its crew so easy to deal with. Come on, everyone, into a suit.
Shana, I'm scared.
Well, of course you are, Astra. We all are. You stay close to me. I can shoot straighter than you can.
You see that, Number One? The dome closed behind them.
I saw what happened, Number Two. I'm surprised that Telson should have gone into the dome. We have always considered him one of the most cautious to have been born on the Challenger. It shows how little we really understand humans.
And supposing they are unable to return, we will be stranded in this orbit until the end of time.
Does time have an end?
What does it matter? What matters is what will happen to us if they don't return.
I've been thinking a great deal about time, Number Two. Do you know how much information we lost on the subject of time when our memories were damaged and
there's
the great...
There's no point in worrying about lost information. The city's sinking below the horizon. Another 50 minutes before we have it in sight again. That's all that concerns me about time. A simple enough subject.
If it is such a simple subject, Number Two, why did the builders of the Challenger allocate it 1 billion megabyte memory? And what is meant by the time dilation effect that occurs in so many of the main drive control sub-programs.
Baggage retrieval point. Well, does anyone know what that could mean?
No.
Swing the camera to left, Shana.
Right.
That's it. There's another sign. Prohibited imports. No, I can't make out the small print underneath.
The camera's on maximum resolution.
Let's go out now, Commander.
Not until we've made absolutely certain it's safe.
Look, we've been sitting here an hour camera searching the entire dome. There's nothing out there.
External air pressure, 1 atmosphere, 80-20 nitrogen oxygen mix, gravity decimal 1/6, temperature 20.
You see? A comfortable environment, even if the gravity is only 1/6. The whole point in landing on the moon was to see what we could find out about Earth, and we won't learn anything stuck inside this shuttle.
Darv's right, Telson. If there was anything here that meant us harm, it or they would have done something by now.
All right, then. But two of us will remain here on watch. To save argument, we'll draw lots to see who goes.
Telson?
Go ahead, Shana.
We've reached the end of the second gallery. It's definitely some sort of place for receiving large numbers of people. According to the notices, it's called FFC. And there are maps of the trackway system linking this city with other cities. This gravity really is weird. Astra's devised a sort of hopping walk that works quite well.
Shana, over here!
What does FFC mean?
I've no idea. Astra's found something.
See what you make of this notice. It lights up when you stand near it.
FFC Tourist Federation. Please touch the red panel if you require a conducted tour of the FFC cultural circuit. Please touch the green panel if you wish to visit the Shrine of the First Footprint. Did you hear that, Telson?
Yes, I did. Don't touch anything.
Oh, but I've already touched the green panel. I couldn't resist it. Oh, Shana, behind you!
What's happening?
There's a small, open-sided vehicle approaching us. Rather like a repair platform, but with four seats. There's no driver. And it's hovering about a foot above the ground. It's moving quite fast.
Don't take any chances, Shana. Use your PD weapon on it if it tries to get too close.
I don't think it means us any harm.
Good day to you, ladies. Welcome to First Footprint City, home of the United Planets Federation of the Solaric Empire. My name is Simon, and I'm your guide for your visit to the Shrine of the First Footprint on the Plane of Peace. Please climb aboard and make yourselves comfortable.
Shana, Astra, whatever you do, don't go aboard. It could be a trap.
There are times, Astra, when I despair of Telson. I think we'll turn our radios off. Come on. Weird, isn't it, all this open space? It must be 20 times the size of the farming galleries.
Why are there no people? The whole plane is a mass of footprints, millions of them. So where have they all gone?
Wherever the Earth is, that's where they've gone. Oh, I don't know, Astra. I've given up trying to puzzle it all out. Darv's right. How could all this development have taken place on the moon in 115 years?
Simon, how long has it been since your last tourists?
Good day to you, ladies. My name is Simon. The Shrine of the First Footprint is 1 mile ahead.
Oh, no. Oh, just look at that.
Oh, Telson, can you hear me?
I've been trying to contact you. Are you all right? Where are you?
Can I speak to Darv, please, quickly?
Oh, hello, Astra. What's the matter?
I don't think I've ever seen anything so beautiful.
Oh, Darv, you remember the old videos we used to watch of the first moon landing? We're actually there. There's the landing gear of the lunar lander, and it's bathed in a pool of brilliant blue light. And Darv, it's the most beautiful. The light and the way the plane all around is glowing. It's so beautiful.
Good day to you, ladies. My name is Simon. We are now at the Shrine of the First Footprint. I am not allowed to approach any closer, but you may walk to the edge of the Cathedral of Light.
Well, come on.
Okay.
Oh, listen, what's that? It's music. Oh, Astra, this is beautiful.
I can't believe it.
Come near it, please.
What was that?
Welcome to the Shrine of the First Footprint, where man first set foot on the moon over 1 million years ago.
No, that's wrong. Not a million years.
Please, come here. You may touch the Cathedral of Light Force wall guarding the shrine. It won't hurt you.
Shana, isn't it the most beautiful thing you've ever seen?
Yes, but it's wrong. It wasn't a million years ago.
Follow this point of light with your eyes as it moves down the ladder. You are following man's first groping steps as he made his way down the ladder in his cumbersome mobility suit. Watch the spot of light carefully. Then, it is now illuminating the first footprint made by man on another world. The footprint is exactly as it was when it was first made over 1 million years ago.
No! No, no, you're wrong! The first moon landing was only 300 years before the Challenger left Earth.
Well, the area behind the force wall is a perfect factory.
Oh!
And the force wall itself derives its energies from a fusion reactor buried deep beneath the plate. The reactor will power the force wall until our sun becomes a nova and consumes our solar system. The Earth was forced to leave our solar system 500,000 years ago, taking the men, women, and children of the Solaric Empire to safety, to a new sun. Meanwhile, I am the Sentinel, guarding this shrine of the first footprint and the library of the Solaric Empire, and welcoming aliens such as yourselves who pass this way.
We're not aliens. We're of the Earth.
This shrine has stood for over 1 million years. It is a monument to our questing spirit.
Oh.
I ask you to look upon it with understanding, to leave it undisturbed until our sun, which gave us life, is ready to destroy.
We are not aliens, I tell you. Our grandparents were born on Earth. They were the crew of the starship Challenger, which was sent from Earth to explore the universe.
Oh, don't worry, Shani. It's all right. It's mistaken about the million years.
Well, thank you, Astra, but I'm all right.
It's just a voice, the Sentinel or whatever it is. Perhaps there's something wrong with it.
I will examine the records to see if there is a reference to the starship Challenger. Go to the library at the Solaric Empire in
what?
The first footprint city, and I will speak with you there.
I mean, it's so stupid. 1 million years.
Oh.
Well, it can't be. The Challenger's been away from Earth for 115 years, not 1 million years.
I don't know, Astra.
Well, surely you don't think that...
I don't know what to think. Tilson, can you hear me?
We heard everything the Sentinel said. Darv and I are leaving the shuttle. We'll find a vehicle like yours and we'll meet you at the Library of the Solaric Empire, whatever that is.
Good. Right. Simon.
Good day to you, ladies. My name is Simon. Climb aboard and make yourselves comfortable. Next stop, the Library of the Solaric Empire in First Footprint City.
Welcome to the Hall of Knowledge, my friends. You said that you were off Earth from the Starship Challenger. In the history of the Solaric Empire, there have been many such named ships.
There's no mention of this Solaric Empire in our records of Earth.
When did the Challenger leave the Earth?
Year 290 of the third millennium.
The date is meaningless to me.
Wait a minute. 290. The Challenger left Earth 321 years after the first moon landing.
1,000 years before the founding of the Solaric Empire. Therefore, the records I must search will be over 1 million years old. You must be patient for a few moments.
Look, this is crazy. The Challenger left Earth 115 years ago, not 1 million years ago. And what is this Solaric Empire?
Yes, there is a reference to 3 Challenger-class starships of the pre-Empire period you mentioned.
3? But there was only our ship.
Challenger 1, Challenger 2, and Challenger 3. They were built when it was discovered that the sun would go nova at any time within the following 1 million years. Their purpose was to search the galaxy for Earth-type worlds for the eventual evacuation of the Earth and the colonized planets of the solar system.
Then which of the 3 Challengers is our starship?
Challenger 2 returned on schedule 270 years after leaving its construction orbit around the moon. It travelled at a constant 1 gravity acceleration on its mission and reached 90% of the speed of light. Distance reached was 137 light years. Shipboard time that passed was 20 years. Earth time that passed 270 years.
What do you mean, shipboard time?
The crew had aged only 20 years in the 270 years they had been away from Earth. They found no suitable planets in the sector of the galaxy they explored.
Wait a minute. I don't understand you. Why the time difference?
Challenger 3 reached out 455 light years and returned on schedule after 910 years had passed on Earth, but only 25 years had passed on the ship. It found no suitable Earth-type planet. Challenger 1's mission was the longest, but it never returned.
I remember a poem I once found in the library. There were two lines I didn't understand, but I think I do now. Oh, to ride on a beam of light, so that time would stand still forever.
If it was possible to travel at the speed of light, time would cease to exist for you. You would be ageless, but the rest of the universe would grow old around you.
So how long should our Challenger have been gone from Earth?
420,000 years. It was considered the latest that the evacuation could be left.
And the time that would have passed on the ship?
50 years. A second-generation crew was expected to return.
We're third generation, and we've recorded the solar systems of many galaxies, not just two.
How far out did you reach?
Nearly 500,000 light-years.
Then something went wrong that extended the voyage. Challenger 1 was meant to reach out 208,000 light-years. 50 years shipboard time should have passed, not 115 years.
And 1,000,000 years have passed here?
Yes. There were many theories as to what happened to Challenger 1.
If it's possible to travel forward in time, is it also possible to travel back?
No.
But surely...
It is how the universe is made.
What happened to the Earth?
That is a question I cannot answer. There are no clues for the aliens to follow.
We're not aliens. The Earth is our spiritual home. We have a right to know.
The Earth left the solar system 500,000 years ago for a new star. That is all I can tell you.
Very well. We have a starship. We will search for the planet Earth.
No. You will not be permitted to leave the moon. You will be required to remain here.
How long for?
What's that noise?
The air pumps.
How long for?
Oh, my ears!
The atmospheric pressure is dropping rapidly. The air pumps are returning the air through our third footprint city to the reservoir. You will remain here until you die.
In First Footprint City, Part 2 of Earth Search by James Follett, Sean Arnold played Commander Telson, Amanda Murray Shana, Hayden Wood Darve, and Catherine Hurlbut Astra. Angel 1 was played by Sonia Fraser, and Angel 2 by Gordon Reed. Simon was David Bradshaw, and the Sentinel, Alexander John. Earth Search is directed by Glyn Dearman.